Chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there. But can't you still recall the time we cried? Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Live from Yoga Pora in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. Get onto it, starring Don Williams. And I got to tell you, Don, this is a beautiful setting we're here. Live right here in a yoga studio. It's peaceful, it's serene, and we are honored to have a guest, the owner actually of Yoga Pora.
It helps collect us and get us in the mood to talk about what people need to get on to it.
That's right, there's no doubt about it. And I'm really looking forward to this particular show, especially with the world catastrophe that's going on, it seems every day. This is an important show because I do believe we're going to touch on responsibility for the individual, responsibility to grow, to evolve, to transform into the highest and best, and that might be the answer to the world's problem.
The other thing about where we are is it has a home yet social feeling to it that you can't find in most locations. It's very unique.
Yeah. There is no doubt about it. So, Don, why don't you do the honors and introduce our very special guest.
Well, as we always plan on doing here on Get On To It, the aim is to bring the listeners the best guests we can that exemplify that which shows that these applications on what we do in life are able to accomplish things. Mr. Eric Wahl Rabenstein is one such individual. We are currently at Yoga Pora, pronounced Pura but spelled P-U-R-A, and he also has what is called the Better Box and the Bootstrap. These are all three things that we're going to talk about as we continue on through today's discussion. And thank you very much, Eric, for being here.
That's my pleasure. My pleasure.
A rousing ovation. That was awesome.
So, from my understanding, when you initially did yoga, it was more of an interest personally. It wasn't something professionally that you were thinking about doing, and yeah. You migrated into it. And there are a lot of ideas and thoughts with regards to what yoga is. Some people think of it kind of an exercise. Some people think of it kind of on a religious sense. And it's kind of a number of things. It's more of a lifestyle. Could you kind of explain how you got into it and where you would direct somebody?
Sure, I'd be happy to. You know, as you know, I started my career out as a military officer. I was an Army officer. And as I got out of the service and I was in San Francisco working in the business world, I was beset by a rather significant stress problem. I mean, to the degree that I was having kind of stress episodes while I was riding mass transit to work and things like that. And that really kind of started a search, if you will, for me, because all of the things that I was doing in my life wasn't really working to get me where I wanted to be. And when I say I wanted to be, it was really, and this was not conscious in my mind at the time, but it was getting me to where I wanted to feel. Because yeah. it's always all about feeling.
I agree.
And we forget about that. We chase the $100,000 Ferrari, and you really don't want $100,000 worth of metal. You want to feel a certain way.
That's associated with what the object is. You think you're going to have this feeling. In some cases, you don't get that feeling. And if you do, it's a short-lived concept.
Yeah. So at that time, I was, and I still am very much, despite all of my yoga meditation training and work, very much of a type A person. And so I was a hard-charging ex-Army officer. I was in sales and marketing and all that at the time. And all of my accomplishments weren't really getting me to that place of calm, of feeling that I was successful or relaxed or anything for that matter. And so I started looking around and began initially actually a Zen practice at the San Francisco Zen Center where I practiced for about a decade. But overlaid on top of that was I also had and continue to have something of a chronic back problem. And mentioning that to a friend of mine, she said, you know, you should try yoga. So I said, what the heck? And we packed up the car, went to a yoga class, and that began to kind of mitigate not only the stress but the back problem as well. And if I'm going to be completely honest, I started in a very superficial way, right? It was just to really treat these two little issues I was having. And it began, the reason that I kept going was as much for social reasons, because I was hanging out with my friends, as anything else. But one of my personality traits is that it's kind of, I have one of these let it go big or go home kind of personality traits, and I don't do anything with half measure.
All in. That's I'm an all in guy.
So,
So
after about maybe 3 or 4 months of practicing, I went up to my teacher, which is a little teeny yoga studio in Alameda, California, and I kind of said, who's your teacher? And I wanted to go to the source. Yeah. And so she introduced me to her teacher, who was a gentleman named Donald Moyer, who was one of the earliest Iyengar people to bring Iyengar over to this country. And I studied with him for a number of years. And one thing led to another, and I was really enchanted by the practice. And found myself in about a year and a half or 2 years later in a 2-year-long yoga teacher training program, which was the first brick in a long, long wall of different yoga trainings and experiences and such, which has culminated in where we are today.
Mm-hmm. At what point did you, well, let's put it this way. You mentioned it was superficial at one point, but at what point, and do you remember what took place when it went over the edge, when you actually had a whole different path?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was really interesting to me because, as I mentioned, I was studying the Zen first, right? And a lot of meditation, but also I was very enchanted by the ancient texts and writings of various different Zen traditions. And that began to feed a spiritual need in me. And I was brought up in a kind of a-religious background without any real kind of spiritual underpinnings. But the Zen started feeding that for me. Then fast forward a few years when I started getting into the yoga was for me at the time mostly about kind of what I would call somatic relaxation. So I was using the body to calm my nervous system and my mind, and it had benefits physically for my back, but there wasn't a real spiritual component to it, or at least it didn't seem like it to me. When I stood back, and this was probably late 80s, early 90s in San Francisco, California, which was very much an Iyengar-based, which is a style of yoga, influenced community, I noticed that all of the Iyengar folks were also Buddhists. And that made me kind of take pause, because it was almost like they were using the yogic tradition for their physical well-being, but they were seeking kind of a spiritual nurturing somewhere else. And I had always heard, but hadn't experienced it yet, that yoga was much more than what was going on in the yoga studios. And so that really fired a curiosity within me to begin to kind of plumb the depths of, okay, so what does yoga have to offer as a complete system, as opposed to taking a little bit of yoga here and a little bit of Buddhism here and a little bit of this and that and the other thing, right? So that was kind of a turning point for me, because it made me really dive into the lesser known aspects of what yoga is and the techniques that it offers to really kind of bring about a more holistic sense of wellness, both in a practical sense but also in a spiritual sense.
So, yeah, that totally makes sense.
It melds the physical with the spiritual, kind of does the full energy completion, kind of connect what I refer to as what I help people understand is there's what some people consider the woo-woo or the spiritual and the science or the physical, and we bridge that gap. And yoga seems to be a living practice in the movements and the mentality that helps bring that alignment together.
Yes, yeah. And in the way, if you were to look at it, take off all of the cultural baggage and dogma and all of the other dressings that sometimes confuse people, you'll see that it's really just a technique-based science using replicable tools and techniques that you can use in order to achieve a particular aim. And that aim is creating deep and abiding inner peace or stillness, which then is the stepping off point for any spiritual journey or spiritual evolution in every tradition.
And one of the concepts that we've talked about before on the radio show is you don't know what you don't know. And until someone starts getting into it like yourself, you sort of got into it as a social thing. Maybe, hey, you know, might help me out here or there. And you bridge this new experience and you recognize it doesn't have to be religious to have the spiritual component. It's a physical experience, but it's not like one that's highly strenuous, but yet I do feel the difference. And it's relaxing and stretching and things that are associated with that. So for someone who went in not knowing where it went and coming in with this experience, it's sort of amazing how life leads you in directions where you didn't think it would take you. And then once you're there, you're like, wow, you could have asked for it because right. You didn't know what you didn't know what you were seeking until you're there. It's like, wow.
Yeah. Now, Eric, how did that enhance your purpose in life? Because often, you know, I'm a CPA, and as I mentioned prior to the show, a master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, and very spiritual. We talked about Paramahansa Yogananda, Self-Realization Fellowship, really cool stuff, and of course you have a nice picture, and I suspect the autobiography of a yogi somewhere around
here. We got hundreds of copies of that here.
Which is really cool. And to me, well, someone said this. I won't say who, but I was not type A, I think more type B, but very successful building up a CPA firm in Century City. That's Los Angeles area. And what happened was there was a transformation as I got more into SRF, neuro-linguistic programming. I started to see things differently. And it appeared to one or two people, I won't mention who, that I started to lose my ambition. And what happened actually, my ambition got rechanneled to a much higher level purpose, and it was much more dramatic, and the purpose became not just how high can you grow in business, but how can you be of service to others, and where do you deliver your message from? And I've never said this on the air, and I'm going to say it because you're right on, and I really honor and admire you. As a CPA, when I flipped my identity from being just a CPA, I said, I'm no longer a CPA, but I was, but in my mind, I'm a spiritual healer. Boom, everything changed because the world now was my client. Whether they paid me or not, it didn't matter.
Sure.
Comment on that. Did you have some similar transformation as that?
Well, it's really interesting because one of the things that we do in many of our advanced programs here is to help people really kind of identify what their life purpose is.
Well, and before you get into this, because everybody touched on something here, most people don't realize that when they're growing up in the socialized world, they're going about it in terms of what they've been taught, but they really don't know who they are about. And that transformation, once you make it, you look back, you're like, how did I ever live this way? And I'll let you get back to where you were. But I just wanted to make sure that was clearly set up.
Yeah, there. For sure. Thank you. But in terms of the life purpose piece, that you can be whatever you want to be when you grow up.
That's what I call compounded ignorance. People taught what they were taught, and they were teaching what they taught, and they didn't know what they didn't know.
Yeah. And so what I've found in my own life, and this has been verified in the lives of thousands of my students, is that it's really not a question of what do you want to be when you grow up. It's what are you built for, right? Because and that's the question that we don't ask. It's like, what do you want to be? And when you ask what do you want to be, what we end up doing is we lean on our cultural programming as, well, I want to be somebody who makes a lot of money. I want to be somebody who people look up to, or I want to be somebody whatever else it is. But the fact of the matter is that I can never be an NBA center, right? I'm not built for that, right? Albert Einstein wasn't built for that, and Michael Jordan wasn't built to be a physicist, right? So you need to start with, what are you built for? Because that's the firm, not just physically, right. No, mentally, emotionally, your right. proclivities and your interests, because we're all really programmed with all the things that we need to really express ourselves in the way that the world needs us to express ourselves. But too often, those become squelched because we're weighted down with what we think we should do or what culture thinks we should do or other number things.
Now, there's a perfect example of that, and I can't remember, Greg might remember, the USC quarterback years ago. It was probably before Greg's time. But he was a quarterback, and his dad lived vicariously through him. I think the dad was a coach somewhere, not at USC at the time, maybe an assistant coach. So this guy lived out his dad's dream. Phenomenal college quarterback, drafted way up high in the NFL, but fell apart, drugs, you name it, because he wasn't built to be that. Mm-hmm. He could do it as well as anyone, but it wasn't in his heart.
Right.
And that's what you're saying.
Yeah. And so for me, back to, you know, circle way back to your original
yeah.
question, was there was kind of a gradual awakening for me to what I was built for. And one of the things that really helped me, that this is something that I help use with some of my clients and students, is when I looked back in the rearview mirror of what I had been doing, independent of circumstance, whether it was when I was in college, whether it was when I was in the military, whether it was when I was a director of marketing and communications, the one theme that came out over and over and over and over and over and over again is I empower people, mm-hmm. right? I, through coaching, body mind that has certain talents in terms of the way that it can present information and architect information and work with people and mentor people, that to put myself on a boat and just take off and do this thing, for better or worse, just felt like kind of selfish.
Sort of abandoning.
Yeah, abandoning your mission or something
like
that.
You're given
right?
a gift yeah. and you're kind of like walking away from it.
Yeah. So that led me to sell the boat, get in my car, and I started driving because I was, for whatever reason, done with the Bay Area. It just didn't feel right for me anymore. And I was thinking Southern California because I grew up in Manhattan Beach. And
oh, did you?
Right cool around the place. Corner. Yeah, it sure
is. Absolutely, nice.
Even though every part of me, again, the ego part of me, loved Southern California and loved the beach and all of that, it just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
So somebody said, go to Tucson. So I went to Tucson, didn't feel right. And so on my way back to San Francisco, I stopped here in Phoenix to visit an old Army buddy. And there was no part of my ego part that really was like, oh, this is great. Because quite honestly, this was back in 2000. I thought I was going to have to eat in Chili's for the rest of my life. Because Phoenix has come alive, as we know, in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
So it wasn't Phoenix, but there was a feeling, a rightness in this place for me at that time, and that was the birth of Yogapura.
Well, the interesting thing about that is if you look at all back in history, all the famous texts and things like this, anybody who was something once and was going through a shift goes out to the desert, turns around, becomes something while in the desert or while leaving the desert.
Yeah.
It's very phenomenal how that works.
Like, it's kind of like when you're deciding what you want for lunch, and, you know, not that, not that, not that, not that. And when you land on the thing that you want, there's just like this feeling in the body of calm. Yeah. And it was that.
Well, it's good. Like when you say, when you're talking about deciding for lunch, I try to help people understand. It's kind of like a buffet line. You get to choose what you like, what you don't like. And part of what life gives you is the idea and the ability to taste what you don't like, so to speak, and make that decision. Okay, now you know you don't like that. Now it helps you clarify better what it is that you do like.
Sure, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And that was what that trip was doing. Where do I get that feel meditation aspect to it to just help relax you? And so there's much more that you offer here than just a standard experience. And then when I heard about what you were putting together for a class to teach people to become a yoga instructor, but it really wasn't as much that as you have a better opportunity if you decide to take it to learn more about what it is about yoga for just a personal growth that you didn't even have to be a teacher about. Could you explain that a little bit more?
Sure. Well, you know, it's funny because people ask me sometimes, you know, why have you devoted your life to yoga, right? And the truth is I haven't, and I really don't even care about yoga. Yoga is a means to an end. And what I care about is I care about you, and you having the happiest, most productive, most fulfilled and evolved life that you can.
That you were built for.
Right. Mm-hmm. And yoga is simply a set of tools in order for you to actualize that. So what's happened in the yoga world, to Don's point, is that there's a what I would call a myopic focus on the tools,
mm-hmm.
right? And not even on all the tools, but one or two of the tools, like yoga postures and yoga breathing. And so when you focus on just the tools, you have a tendency to lose sight of the end, right? And the end is you happy, fulfilled, actualized. It's not you using a tool well, i.e. putting your head behind your or your foot behind your head or touching your toes or any number of other things.
Because that could be very stressful if
yes,
you can't
right, exactly.
But if you look at the end and you measure yourself against yourself.
Right.
And keep the focus on serenity, joy, whatever it is, mm-hmm. then the tool is not as how you do it I'm sure is important, but like you said, the end results are key to focus on. Is that what you teach?
Well, it is, and you know, Don mentioned at the beginning of every class there's a little lesson or discussion.
It's the experience of a journey, and that's what kind of that discussion is. It kind of where that fits in.
Yeah, and really, it's the idea is that in every single class, what we're looking at is what are some of the ways in which maybe I'm in my own way.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's not about come into a class and do some postures and feel better. It's come into a class and then there's a hypothesis. And the hypothesis might be something like your tendency to judge yourself and your surroundings is poisoning your existence moment to moment.
Right.
Now, let's look at that as we do some yoga postures and see if it isn't true. And maybe experiment with a slightly different way of being that is going to yield a different, maybe more pleasurable or result. And so the postures themselves, I like to say the practice of yoga is, or the practice of yoga postures is not the practice of yoga, but rather it's a place to practice yoga or a place to learn how to live more skillfully, happily, and artfully.
Mm-hmm. And the key would to bring this with you no matter where you are. So whether it doesn't mean you have to quit your job, it doesn't mean you have to, you know, get divorced. I mean, there's some groups out there. This is not a group like. Well, I won't mention names, but there's certain cultish groups out there that once you go through, you know, almost everyone gets divorced. Now, but it's to bring the goodness into your life. Yeah. And make it better.
Yeah. Practical and relevant are the two words that we use around here. And Don and I were having a conversation just the other day about that very thing. And specifically how what we do in these rooms is really, I liken it to going to learn how to swim in a little kiddie pool. Right? When you go to a little kiddie pool, it's safe. You can touch your feet on the bottom. There's no waves. There's no sharks. And you can focus on just learning the skill of staying afloat. But you don't want to stay in the kiddie pool. You do everything in the kiddie pool so that you can go back out in the ocean.
Yeah, exactly.
And into life and have the same kind of skill. So what we see in the yoga postures is maybe a tendency to be judgmental of myself or others that isn't working for me. And maybe I tweak that a little bit and I learn that I can feel better just by switching my where I place my attention or the way that I respond to a situation. And then the real work is when I go home and I'm in a relationship with my spouse or at work or wherever, and you use the very same principles, we call them transferable skills, in real life. And that's where the rubber meets the road.
And one thing we were both of you were talking about when you talked about relationships, Dave hinted on that group that sort of insinuates or helps people split up, and you're talking about bringing yourself closer together. And you mentioned with yoga and how we judge ourselves and judge other people. Most people in our society don't recognize, and this is one of the concepts I talk about with regards to relationships, is that we get caught up in the conditionalization of things so much that we use this judgment. And when it's a natural flow, which is what you are practicing while you're in yoga, you start to have more natural experiences, and you don't have so much of that unnatural friction.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I think one of the results of your teachings of and the benefits that your students get, and it's probably somewhat automatic and not consciously taught, but you start to live in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only moment there is. And sometimes people try so hard to live in the present moment, they get stressed, and immediately they're not in the present moment.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that. I mean, is that something you emphasize, or it's something that just evolves here at the studio?
Well, it depends on the course or the class and the day, because we're always emphasizing different aspects of our lives and the practice in order to kind of give people a more holistic experience that's going to help them live the happiest lives they can.
I think this gives you a good opportunity to actually explain the Better Box.
We could talk about that, sure.
But you're talking about how you have something that's small just kind of opens things up.
Right.
I'm just giving you kind of that open there.
Let me finish this here, and then we can circle back to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate the entree. The thing about being in the present moment is that so often I hear people say you should be in the present moment. Well, the fact of the matter is you're always in the present moment. How could you not be in the present moment?
Yeah.
But what the real issue here is attending to what is, as opposed to attending to the fantasies in the mind about past, future, and whatever. And it really isn't that you from my perspective, right? I'll preface it with that.
But always safe.
It's not that you should be in the present moment. It's that there are consequences to not being in the present moment. And it's your life and it's your choice. Now, if you want to live a life of focusing on all the stuff that's happened to you and all the worries about the future, I mean, by all means, if that's the feeling you want in your body from day to day, cool. But what I'm about and what this place is about is helping people to realize that there's an alternative,
mm-hmm.
an alternative to having a different experience independent of circumstances. All right, same job, same spouse, same body, same health, but all of a sudden there's a feeling of completeness, wholeness, ease, fulfillment, and it comes from, in some ways, this ability to kind of connect with just what is in the present moment.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and also, I guess as Tony Robbins would say, is it's really not the events of your life or the circumstances, because they are what they are. But it's how you reinterpret it now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also a nice tool, nice benefit, to be able to see things differently and from the present moment. One last thing. Have you ever read The Power of Now, Eric Tolle?
Oh, of course.
Great book.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very good book for people to start to get into that, let's say, mindset and stop worrying.
Excuse me for jumping the gun. The reason I brought up the Better Box, and Eric will explain it, is when you receive a Better Box, and the concept behind it is about helping you focus on one concept better in the now, outside of the physical. And that's why I was like, this is a natural connection here. So, Eric,
yeah.
if you wanted to explain that a little
bit
better.
I'd
I thought
to.
That was fascinating.
Yeah, I'd love to. Just to kind of context it just a little bit without going too far in any one direction as I'm
We often do,
is that since we opened this place back in 2001, one of the clear yearnings I've had is how can we help the people that don't come through these doors, right? So how can I help tens of thousands, if not millions of people, not just in this country, but all around the world with the powerful stuff that goes on in these four walls? And that was really the kind of impetus behind Better Box. And so what Better Box is it's a monthly subscription box, although you can buy a single box if you'd like, or a couple, or however many you want. And each one is themed with a different, here I
concept.
Go again, concept. Thank you.
You
I
go.
Didn't want to say theme again. So anyway, each one's themed with a different concept, like gratitude, or paying it forward with kindness, or blissful slumber, or mindfulness. And the box, unlike most other subscription boxes, isn't really constellated around the stuff that comes in the box, although you get stuff. It's really built around 21 daily activities to move you towards the goal of whatever the box is. So 21 days to help you establish a habit of being grateful and experiencing the joy that comes with that. Or 21 days of being mindful and experiencing the wonder in each moment that we so often miss. So the whole Better Box idea is to help people with, and I think this is what you were pointing to, Don, a little bit earlier, little teeny digestible things that they can do that fit within their everyday life but have a cumulative and significant effect on their well-being.
So they can take that now and see how it can be applied later.
Absolutely, yeah.
See, I like that because we're in a society that, you know, you go for the quick fix, the home run, rather than this slow, it doesn't even have to be slow, but this sort of step-by-step, chunk-down way, because cumulatively, it adds up pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I like your concept by, you know, the 21, you know, days, I think you said, and these exercises daily. And if people have the patience and the frame of mind to just enjoy the present moment again as they do these exercises, before you know it, you're really accumulating some great experience and great transformation.
Yeah.
That's what I like about the Better Box.
Well, this whole push in society to have everything now is actually a myth that doesn't get you the experience or the part, the value of the experience that most people are always seeking, that's the journey in between.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this goal orientation mindset that we've all been taught in many ways obstructs the very thing that we want. Right?
Yeah,
you think that you're going to get to the goal, and then you're going to feel fulfilled. But the focus on not being at your goal is the thing that makes you feel unfulfilled. So it's really kind of a double bind that for most people is absolutely off the radar, right? And so part of our work here, and I know it's part of the work that you guys do too, is to help people awaken to the fact that there's an alternative way of being that doesn't require circumstances to change, but can really open up a whole different experience of their lives as they are.
You know, in fact, there's been numerous examples, people winning the lottery, and a couple years later, they're bankrupt. Now, I also have, I won't mention any names, but someone I know that did win the lottery, split it like among eight people, but it was still a good chunk of change. And you would figure someone would be like ecstatically happy, at least temporarily. Has actually resulted in some type of depression.
Yeah. Well, they did.
Which is interesting.
I don't know if you heard of the study, but, and I'm not going to get this 100% right, but I'm going to get close.
Sure.
Because I don't have the exact study in my mind.
There's
where
no
it came
such
from.
Thing as perfect, so don't worry.
Excellent.
About it.
But they did a study among people who had all sorts of life experiences, including people who had become paralyzed and then people who won the lottery. And what they found was that the people who became permanently paralyzed and the people who had won the lottery, all of them rebounded to their previous level of happiness within about 3 months, independent. And you would think that, okay, the people who have become permanently paralyzed, their whole life is going to feel terrible. And the people who won the lottery, they're going to be great. But they rebounded right back to their kind of default setting, if you will. And so in a certain way, that points to the fact that circumstances aren't the answer.
Not even close.
You know, because and that's one of the things that kind of drove me, I guess, if you will, to where I am now, is that I had been really lucky in my life. I've gotten everything that I've ever worked for. And a lot of it's, I mean, I've really busted my back doing it. It wasn't given to me, but I've been very, very successful over time in every career, on and on and on, but always ended up kind of like, and so the circumstances aren't the answer, and although that's what we're taught.
Yeah, it's the fulfillment. It's the value you get from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, you know, there's such wealth here, and people think of wealth as typically like money or things, but the wealth of the wisdom, the wealth of really just sitting in the presence of the studio is, you could feel this energy. I could feel this energy. Mm-hmm. And you got to be proud of that. And I don't mean in a egotistic way, but you're bringing sort of this alternative world that should be the real world, sort of like a sanctuary, sort of like a place to really grow, to experience and expand. And I haven't taken your classes, but Don, the first time I came in here was, what, a month?
About 3-4 weeks ago.
But I felt it immediately. Mm-hmm. I go, this is like home.
That's why I said he had to come on in.
Yeah.
This is a place
this
where you
fantastic.
Have to have a live interview. And you make this progression of a location, and with the Bootstrap, you kind of flip that opportunity around to help bring that to the troops.
Yes, and actually Bootstrap predated BetterBox. And so for you listeners at home, Bootstrap is a program that was born out of a couple of things. One, of course, is my background as a U.S. Army officer, and the fact that I had an awful lot of friends coming back from the recent wars with all sorts of post-traumatic stress and all sorts of psychological wounds, if you would. that combined with the fact that I've been helping people individually and in small groups with chronic stress for quite some time, it led me to think, once again, here it is, how can we move this beyond the four walls of this particular location? And so I went to work and wrote a 10-week curriculum. It's a 180-page workbook that's combined with this with a series of techniques and practices that has since been translated into videos. And this whole thing's online now. Mm. And this 10-week program is available. It's created specifically for troops and veterans struggling with stress, chronic stress, and post-traumatic stress and other psychological wounds. And we make it available free. We've so far given away, I think we've just eclipsed 75,000 individual sessions for troops and veterans all around the world. We're providing it for free for them. And it's a remarkable program simply because it's not just yoga postures and breathing, but it combines some cognitive investigations that help people to not only identify but uproot the hidden mental tendencies that perpetuate the stress cycle. So it's a very holistic approach that's proven really, really successful. It helped an awful lot of folks. So we're really proud about that.
That's amazing to get it out that far. Those amounts, 75,000. Have you ever considered, or have you gone to like the veterans? Hospitals or the administration that controls that, although they've had their issues, to see if it could be a regular program.
Well, you're going to have a really hard time believing this, but the Veterans Administration is a bureaucracy.
Oh, yes. I believe totally.
So it's a really tough thicket of red tape and regulations. Surrounded by a whole bunch of really well-meaning individuals. Yeah. So I'm not trying to bash the VA or anybody that works there. With that said, we have had some successes. Last year, we did two sessions that were about really training people to be able to use Bootstrap to help others. So we trained yoga teachers, we trained spouses, we trained psychologists, we trained VA employees to essentially proctor the 10-week Bootstrap system in small groups and individuals all around the country. So far, we've trained a couple hundred people, and we also have a couple of VAs. The one that comes to mind is in South Dakota that are using Bootstrap as part of their regular program there. So, but getting mass adoption is a really tricky thing because, like I said, they're well-meaning folks, but they're bound by regulations, and they have to have, you know, 5 years of double-blind studies.
Would that be bound or burdened?
maybe both. Maybe both.
Yeah. They always have to refer to somebody else, and they really can't take the initiative to make things happen with themselves.
Yeah. So, but the upshot is that even independent of the powers that be, and there is some slow adoption there, we're able to help people directly. And just so everybody knows at home, BootstrapUSA.com, bootstrapusa.com. If you know a trooper, a veteran, or even a family member who is having challenges with stress, you can go there, sign up for the program, and get the full 10-week program with all the bells and whistles absolutely free. There's also help, and we're happy to offer advice.
Well, if you think back to the way you just discussed the bureaucracy, when you want somebody to work with this program, you have to they have to want to do this. There have to be a willingness to learn. And so if you have a juggernaut like that that gets in the way, the way that you've been going about it is actually probably the best way for everyone anyway.
Yeah. And excuse me, but pardon me. One of the things that was kind of the founding ideas of Bootstrap was that I kind of scanned the landscape, if you will, to look at, okay, who wasn't getting help and why were they not getting help? And one of the things was there's this huge reluctance to seek help for post-traumatic stress because you have to traipse into the mental health building, and there's a stigma against that. particularly for active duty folks, and to some extent even in for veterans. So Bootstrap was designed to be a home-based, privacy-protected program. So nobody knows your name. You're not going on any list anywhere, and you can pull the drapes, and you can do the whole program and help to kind of bring that nervous system back into balance without ever having anybody else to know. And so that was one of the benefits of the program.
Wow, you have so many great programs here. It's phenomenal. Can we send you to Chicago?
I'm happy to go wherever, and we're all about helping as many people in any way we can. So,
so we probably have about maybe 12 minutes left, roughly. Let's focus on a couple things. One is, I'm real curious, where do you see yourself like 5 years from now? Not just yourself, but I mean your message. Is there an expansion model coming up, other locations, books? I could see you writing a book. Maybe you have, because you're very articulate and very clear in your message.
Yeah.
Is there other things that
There is a book that's coming out here in the next couple of months called Reboot, which is really based upon the Bootstrap system. It has the entire curriculum within it, and it explains a little bit about how it came to being. So that's on the horizon.
Perfect.
But in kind of a more kind of larger vision sense, I see the studio as our research and development center. Right?
Nicely
said. This is where we work with people one-on-one in small groups, and we literally test different techniques, different curriculum to see what works. And then from here, what we want to do is then to kind of create programs that we can push out to the world and help literally millions of people without them having to live within 3 to 5 miles of the 85022
sure.
zip code.
Right. Right.
And so where I see things going is I think BetterBox is a big piece of that, because BetterBox is something that is currently serving people who would never in their life set foot in a place like this for whatever reason, but it's making those same techniques and ideas and tools accessible, digestible, and effective in their lives so that they get that aha and feel better.
They don't care how they come to that point. You just want to help them get to that point.
That's exactly right. And so, the other part of BetterBox, you know, we talked about, we have the 21-day experiences that you can subscribe to or buy one off. We also have a bracelet line that are 5-day experiences, so if anybody wants to get a smaller taste. But even beyond that, our next foray is to establish different lines. So we're going to do a BetterBox Kids, a BetterBox Couples, but then also a BetterBox Corporate. So we're wanting to move into the corporate settings and create, because really we're in the business of creating living experiences that help people live happier, better, and more productively. And so rather than putting your employees in a training session in the same old way, we'll put together a customized BetterBox 21-day series for you and your employees to go through a shared experience that has digestible daily chunks that are not only effective but fun and engaging, that helps you move your individual employees and your whole organization into a more productive and evolved direction. So there's all sorts of different things that we have cooking on the BetterBox front and beyond.
What's the BetterBox website?
BetterBox.life.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
And that's the main thing, .life, BetterBox.life.
You know, what I find is if you just remain true to yourself, things unfold. Sometimes you don't see them, what's up next, but they pop up and they go, wow, I must have done something right, because I couldn't even see this coming at us. And is that how you approach it, or do you intentionally, strategically plan the moves in conjunction with letting life unfold and seeing what happened as you just plant the seeds, and sometimes it really grows in directions you've never even were aware of? Does that happen to you?
To use a couple of yoga words, it's will and surrender.
Yeah.
So, you know, the will part, if you just surrender and let anything go, then, well, you get what you get. But it has to do with channeling your will and your energy and your intention in a particular direction, but still listen, right? So I'm still listening to what the world is telling me, and I'm still interested in knowing, like, oh, this feels too hard or this feels uncomfortable. And then you find your way by surrendering your will to what the information that you're getting from your surroundings.
So basically, like, what I try to help people understand is you have to do your part, then you have to pay attention to what's going on, for what you did your part on. And you have to be able to take an action, recognize when to take an action when it shows up. Because it sometimes may not show up as something you expect or something you knew what it was. But if you put it out there and you pay attention, then you're open to recognizing what it is if you're aware that system's there.
Yeah, so all of our effort is also done while we're listening to life and what it's trying to tell us.
You know, what's interesting, the first time I heard that word surrender, it was in the middle of my corporate ladder climbing. And I go, I'm not surrendering. I'm going full force. Obviously, I didn't understand the true meaning. And as I came about, as I evolved and started thinking about surrender again, to me, it means just surrendering to the fear, to the obstacles, to myself that are holding me back. Would that be, does that make sense? Or
it does, and I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
You know, but and to your point, I think that there's a lot of us that have this negative connotation around surrender because that means to give up.
Exactly.
Right? But
yeah.
I think it might be better translated as to yield.
Yes, to stop the pushing.
Right.
You got to show your presence. But then you got to let the presence that you've shown reflect back to you.
Mm-hmm. I think dancing is a really good metaphor because if I'm dancing with you, you don't have to dance with me. Don't worry. If I'm dancing with you,
I'm halfway out the door. No, just to you.
But look at Dancing with the Stars, right?
Yeah.
If you are just using will and pushing the other person around, it's not a dance. Right, you need to be doing your part as much as you are responding skillfully to what's happening.
It's the elegant push and pull.
Exactly, that's it. And so, if you just surrender and give up, you're not dancing.
Yeah.
But if you use all your will and you're pushing your partner around, you're not dancing.
And another good point to put out there: if you've never danced, when you dance, the experience is far different than in the dance than what other people see from outside of the dance.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's part of what we're talking about here too.
I like watching dancing. No, I'm kidding. But you know, it is a fascinating topic, and I really honor you for going now into corporate America, because I think that's much needed. I think it'll be exciting with some of the potential challenges. Sort of like the government, they may have more. Some of them may still have bureaucratic red tape, but you got to get to the decision maker that sort of controls the whole deal.
Right.
You know, what's interesting is I was going through strategic planning and as a CPA, you know, management by objectives. You probably heard all these, you know, Lean and Six Sigma and all these things coming up that if you don't get to the influencer of that corporate culture, these systems don't matter. Yeah, I mean, the people equation aren't in there, but it could be a little more efficient, but you still got the fear, the anger, the resentment.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be real exciting, your journey, to transform the corporate mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that, I think it changes the world.
Oh, for sure it does. You know, and the thing that I think is really kind of cool, if you look around, you'll see that there has been a shift of late in the corporate mindset, and there's more and more emphasis on, okay, my people, I need to help them be well, and I need to support them. And there's big movements of mindfulness in corporate America now that, you know, 10, 20 years ago we would never thought would have been there. So
they weren't suffering.
They're waking
they
up
didn't
to
have
it.
Any suffering or pain then. Now they've got enough suffering and pain. Now they recognize, maybe this stuff we used to have, we need to get it back.
I sort of think suffering and pain has been the middle name for society and the world for a long time, but it's got to be so rewarding for you. So let me ask you: we only have probably 1-2 questions left, but my curiosity is, how much joy do you have right now, seeing what you've done? Not from an egotistical standpoint, but just you're built for this.
Yeah,
and as you evolve and continue to touch people's lives, what does that mean to you?
Well, I mean, it's fulfilling is the word that comes up, but it's also seems wholly inadequate because, you know, one of the things that we haven't talked about, which, you know, I really feel like I need to speak about to some degree, is the fact that, you know, it's not just me, but there's 20 other teachers in this place that are on a daily basis working to radically transform the lives of thousands upon thousands of people a month, you know. And I couldn't do anything that I do without the amazing support of all of these teachers and the staff and everybody else here at Yogapura and BetterBox and Bootstrap, who are so incredibly committed to making the world a better place. So it's really not only rewarding for me, but this whole energy of the group that is working together for this common goal is it's magical.
And that's a model for corporate America, because to get like-minded individuals mm-hmm. that are willing to forgo their own their personal power in a way, but to combine it in a group sense. What would corporate America look like?
Well, you
phenomenal.
Know, here's something interesting that I think that corporate America, if you're listening, it's really instead of thinking about it as like-minded individuals, because to me that means that okay, somebody has to have some affinity for yoga or some affinity for evolution or whatever. But here's what I want to offer as a suggestion to the world is that this is not about evolving because you should evolve, or it's not about doing this because you should do it. It's about understanding that when you take care of this body-mind thing, that it feels better. And when it feels better, you're more productive. And when you're more productive, you're more successful. And when you're more successful, you make more money, if that's what you want to do, corporate America.
And you're healthier.
Right. The whole thing.
The cost of healthcare will go down.
Right. And so it's not even just about, you know, looking for, although like-minded individuals is a place to start, what I'm trying to do is to wake people up to possibility. Right, there's a possibility that the people that you're working with can be so much more happy and successful and productive than they are right now. That you and your relationships can be happier and more successful than you are now. And this possibility is something that you're sitting on every single day, and we don't know how to tap it. That's my message.
The potential is always within you. You got to know how to let go of yourself, but yet be yourself.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. Wow, this has been the fastest hour. We decided not to do commercials because I was so intrigued with what you had to say, Eric. We really appreciate and honor you being on today. We'd love to have you on again.
Thank you so much. It's been delightful, and happy to come back anytime.
Oh, this is great. And Don, phenomenal. Let's get some contact information out,
yes.
Eric.
So if you're interested in our Phoenix studio, Yogapura, it's Yogapura, YOGAPURA.com. And, of course, BetterBox, we talked about it, betterbox.life, and Bootstrap, bootstrapusa.com. Please spread the word about Bootstrap. It's free for all our troops and veterans and their families. There's hundreds of thousands of people out there suffering unnecessarily, and we want to help everybody we can.
Well, that's why we want to have you on the show, help bring that to light. I mean, everybody doing their part, and you're definitely doing your part.
Great. Thanks, Don.
Wow. So, Donald, another great episode of Get On To It. Phenomenal.
Well, the joy is being able to help people understand that what we talk about, they can do too. And these are just examples of what they can do, and we want to see them do it.
Yeah. So anyway, so we honor everyone, and thank you for listening. You can hear replay on breakradioshow.com under archives, under Get On To It, and you'll see all the great shows that Don has produced, as well as all the other shows with Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. Remember, we're on Saturdays, 1480 AM KPHX and NBC Sports, 1060 KDUS in Tempe. Everyone have a great day.
Enjoy it. Be yourself and love it.